All right, the regular season comes to a close, and it's on to the playoffs for the Bucks, who will have home court advantage in every single series they play in. Now we just wait to see who the playoffs will begin against. 800-990-3776, the number to join us today on the regular season year-end edition of Bucks Talk. We'll take a look at the possibilities for the Bucks in these playoff matchups. I've seen a whole lot of, I don't know if I should say a whole lot, but you always see the, well, who would you rather play of those four teams? Who would you ideally get? And look, you're the one seed. None of those four teams, famous last words I know, but none of those four teams are going to beat the Bucks in a first-round playoff series. So it's always the whole who would you rather play, let's wait and let's save that until you get to the conference finals if we're debating the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. We presume when we're talking about the Raptors, the Bulls, the Heat, the Hawks, none of those teams should present an issue for the Bucks in the postseason. 800-990-3776, the number to join us today on this regular season end edition of Bucks Talk. And by the way, while we have this audience in ESPN Milwaukee, I should point out on Wednesday night, we are doing an extended Bucks Weekly, which is a show we do on a weekly basis, obviously, on WTMJ, but you can hear that on this station as well, on ESPN Milwaukee. It is going to be 3 hours from 6 to 9. Already a couple of big names lined up for that show to share their thoughts on the regular season, take a peek ahead to the playoffs. The tricky part is we're not going to know who the Bucks' first-round opponent is by the time we have that show on Wednesday evening. A couple of hours later, we'll know what the matchups will be or what the matchup will be, so we'll be able to whittle it down to two teams and know which of those two or know the two teams the Bucks would potentially play. But a three-hour edition of Bucks Talk Wednesday night on ESPN Milwaukee, on WTMJ as well. Some big-name guests as we take a look ahead to the postseason and wrap up the regular season, and plenty of time to hear from all of you as well. But the regular season today coming to an end, and it was mission accomplished for the Bucks. You avoided injury. You got Jay Crowder quite a bit of extended minutes these last, really the last week. If we go all the way back to last weekend is when you start to see a little bit more of it. There was a lot of chatter, too, of, I don't know, are we getting what we expected from Jay Crowder, or something you seemingly started to hear a lot more frequently? And in many ways, it's a lazy comparison to make. We said that at the time of the acquisition, but a lot of this reminded you of PJ Tucker. And remember, when P.J. Tucker joined the Bucks, you made that trade. The timeline was thrown off because that's when the trade deadline was extended to March, with the regular season beginning just before Christmas. But you brought in P.J. Tucker, played a couple of games, not necessarily big minutes, but right around 15 to 20 minutes early on. Then he suffered an injury. I believe it was a hamstring that P.J. Tucker had. Kind of set him back a little bit, and it took a little bit of time to take the training wheels off, if you will. And P.J. Tucker was very vocal about the frustrations he felt about that. In hindsight, did say, look, this is probably the best thing for me. It got me up to speed. I just had to get used to the way the Bucks do things. A lot different than what I was used to in Houston, where we, the players, basically called the shots. Not so much the input from the sports science side and the training staff. But the Bucks did things differently. This is a marathon. This isn't a sprint. We're going to make sure, hey, we traded 4 second-round picks. We think you're one of the missing pieces, if not the missing piece for this group. We're going to protect our investment and make sure you're ready for the playoffs. For Jay Crowder, it was very similar. Got that nice long on-ramp early, and it's easy to point to that first weekend where he officially played, not the first weekend he was officially a member of the team, but his first weekend here where he had the stretch of games against his former opponents. Phoenix Suns, the big game he had against the Phoenix Suns, the Miami Heat, and even the Brooklyn Nets. You saw heavy minutes against the Suns, and I do truly believe a lot of that was, look, this game means a lot to Jay. So let's throw him out there. Maybe I'm using him and giving him more minutes than I otherwise would have and certainly planned on in the case of Mike Budenholzer. But let's do this for Jay. And then after that, you saw the minutes start to tick downward just a little bit, still right around 15, 18 or so minutes. Then he had a couple of setbacks where he'd play, I think it was 10 games right out of the gates, then missed a couple, then played five or so games, then missed a couple again. But from that point forward, we've gradually seen those minutes pick up, and you've started to see more and more and more what Jay Crowder can bring to this team. Go back to that game against the Washington Wizards last weekend, where you saw Jay Crowder's defense and you saw his activity, loose balls, deflected passes, all of that he brings to the group. But think about the sequences where you have Drew Holiday at the point of attack defending whoever the point guard is. You're going to try to set some screens, get Drew Holiday matched up off of whoever it is handling the ball. Jay Crowder's right there. Bucks will go to a switching defense. You switch off of Drew Holiday. That's the good news. The bad news, here's Jay Crowder. Maybe you do the same, or you can turn the corner. There's Brooke Lopez, or there's Giannis on the weak side. So that is what the Bucks will bring defensively. And that's going to be the most important thing for this team. We talked about the growth they've seen from their half-court offense this season. Joe Ingles has been a big part of that. Brooke Lopez and what he has done offensively this season. We're going to talk a lot about Brooke as the potential defensive player of the year. But what Brooke Lopez has been able to do offensively, you have really optimized him this season more than we've seen in a decade since he was a member of the Brooklyn Nets. That's all well and good. But the Bucks won the championship 2 years ago because they had an elite playoff defense, one of the best playoff defenses we had seen in years. That's what drove them to the championship. That's what they're going to need once again this season. 800-990-3776, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk as we put the regular season behind us and take a look at the postseason. When we return, you know what the two matchups are in the play-in tournament, at the start of it at least, the 7-8 and the 9-10. Who has the advantage in those two series and where? In other words, who do we think will be playing in that matchup for the 8th seed on Friday? We'll get into that after this on Bucks Talk. Regular season comes to an end in Toronto, and the Bucks now head to the playoffs as the number one seed in all of the NBA. So any series the Bucks play in, they will have home court advantage. As I mentioned, we don't know the tip time yet. I'm not even going to guess. You'll have four games, and next weekend is one of the best weekends in sports. At least for me, where you have 8 first-round games on those 2 days. So we'll have 4 games Saturday. We'll have 4 games Sunday. It's not official. Like, we haven't officially been told, but the Bucks are playing Sunday. We don't know who's going to be the 8th seed until Friday. You're not starting the playoffs on a back-to-back. So the Bucks are going to play Sunday. So will the Denver Nuggets. But who that opponent will be is TBD. 800-990-3776, the number to join us on Bucks Talk today. So here's what we know. Tuesday night, the Miami Heat will host the Atlanta Hawks. That is your 7-8 matchup. The winner of that game is the 7th seed. They will play the Boston Celtics. Tommy Wirtz is producing the show today. You were the one who apparently there was a lot of people pointed out, I may have dismissed it early, but the Tommy Wirtz projection index?
TWPs.
How many words? Projections?
Yeah, we just left it at that.
The TWP was the first to be in on 100%. It was above 100%, I believe.
It's gotten above 100%,
which is mathematically not possible, but your TWP was the first to have, hey, the Bucks are going to be the one seed. So,
correct.
I guess we'll test this. I have my thoughts, but I'm curious. I don't know if you've run the projections yet for the TWP.
They're always running.
Okay. 7 versus 8 matchup in Miami, the Heat versus the Atlanta Hawks. The TWP model would point to which team winning that?
I'm thinking 70%
chance.
Well,
you're not thinking. If it's always running.
Right.
So then you would know, you'd be viewing the data projecting. That it's spitting out and projecting.
It's currently moving up and down as we're talking, so I'm thinking it's settling right around 70% chance Miami wins that game.
May I ask why it's still currently projecting if the Heat and the Hawks are both done playing?
Because it fluctuates, you know, like lines would in a casino or something like that. You can't just set something out this many days out.
So
it constantly moves. The Bucks were 100%. It could only go up. It couldn't go lower.
Well, it
lower.
Could only go down.
No. TWPs, you saw. They go up above 100%.
Okay, so you said what? Which team?
70% Miami Heat win that
Miami
game.
Miami Heat. Okay, I would actually agree with the TWP. I don't know about 70%, but I feel pretty strongly that Miami Heat would win that game. They've won 3 of the 4 matchups against the Atlanta Hawks this season. I don't know how much of the Hawks you have seen this season. I don't know how much of the Hawks most of our audience has seen or paid attention to this season, unless we got a lot of big, which is possible, Jalen Johnson fans out there in the audience, and certainly whenever the Hawks played the Bucks, the Hawks are not a good team. A
lot of turmoil there, too.
There was. I don't know how much of that has subsided with the addition of Quinn Snyder. It's also very questionable that Quinn Snyder... That's the job? You took the first 3 quarters of the season off and held out for that job? When who knows what's going to happen across the rest of the NBA? I mean, we just saw breaking news. It's not necessarily a shock, but we just saw Steven Silas is out as the head coach of the Houston Rockets. I mean, there's been a lot of chatter over James Harden. Say what you will about James Harden. I know he doesn't have a lot of fans in this audience. He's been very good this season.
Says Dwayne Casey out in Detroit now, too.
Which is also unfortunate, but not surprising. That's what you see of, all right, we need a coach to kind of take the bullets. You're going to be the guy that is through the real lean years.
I mean, to make it Bucks themed, Charles Lee's getting one of these jobs, you think, right?
Look, we thought that about Darvin Ham for the last couple of years, and we finally saw it happen this past offseason. So I don't want to say definitely, but... You would assume, I mean, Charles Lee was already in the running for some of those jobs and interviewing for the same jobs that Darvin Ham was, which could have been an awkward situation with some teams. But, you would think there's a good chance you're going to have to replace another one of your top lieutenants in this offseason if you're the Bucks. But to get back to the Hawks, they're a mess. And did you see as well... The Hawks finished the season 41-41. Their points scored versus points allowed were within like 50 of each other. It was almost 1-1. And they had that stretch from, I believe it was January until just now, where they were no more than a game above or below 500 for 30-plus games. It was they would win a game, they would lose a game. They would win a game, they would lose a game. Back and forth. They were the most consistent, inconsistent team we've maybe ever seen in the history of basketball. And that's who is the 8th seed in the East and who will go to Miami to play the Heat. So the TWP has the Miami Heat winning that game, getting the 7th seed, advancing to play the Boston Celtics. I would agree with that projection. And we said this after the game on Friday. The Celtics and or the Bucks will both beat the Heat, if that's who your first-round opponent is. It's not going to be fun, and it's probably going to be similar to the Celtics series with the Brooklyn Nets a year ago, where it's easy to look at it in hindsight and say, man, the Celtics just destroyed the Nets. Remember when we were all worried about the Brooklyn Nets? Well, do you really want to play Kevin Durant? Do you really want to play Kyrie Irving? Celtics mopped the floor with them. They won in a 4-game sweep. They did... But that was the lowest point difference, margin of victory, in any four-game sweep in NBA history. Go back to game one. So much of the Celtics' run last year, and I remember just screaming this at the time. I was proven to be wrong. It's very rare, but it's happened before. Turned out I was wrong in the NBA Finals. I should have consulted the TWP, but so much of the Celtics' run last year, it was nearly a mirror image of what the Bucks did the year prior. It reminded you so much of it up until the Finals. You start with that series against the Brooklyn Nets, who a lot of fan bases, maybe not necessarily Boston, but a lot of fans were a little nervous about that. Do you really want to get the Brooklyn Nets? Maybe we should lose this game and go down a line. I don't know if this is the best matchup. It's the same conversation the Bucks had 2 years ago, or the same chatter that was going around on around the Bucks. I don't know. Do you really want the Miami Heat? Maybe we should lose these final few games and avoid Miami. When again, some of us were pointing out, guys, the Miami Heat are not good. This version of the Heat, this is not a good team. And oh, by the way, you're going to have to play the Brooklyn Nets, the Philadelphia 76ers, we thought. You're going to have to play one or both of those teams at some point. If you're afraid and worried about a sixth-seeded Miami Heat team, you got bigger issues. The Bucks, as a team, behind closed doors, put it to a vote. As a team, they decided, we want to win. We want to play to win. And more often than not, when you do that, I don't know how much the TWP takes this into account, but is there a statistical field for basketball gods?
Explain.
Well, you know the old adage of don't anger the basketball gods.
Oh, no, this is all science-based.
Don't tank. Don't try to avoid opponents. We've seen other teams. The Clippers have notoriously done that quite a bit. The Bucks did it, you could argue, last year when they decided to basically give away that final game of the season against the Cavaliers.
It's more vibes than karma.
The TWP is?
The TWP.
Well, I mean, you could say there's vibes with that, too. The Bucks had very, very strong vibes going into the playoffs 2 years ago when they were playing to win. We want the Heat. We want to beat them after what they did to end our season. Then we'll get the Nets. We'll be on the road. We don't care. We'll win that series, and we'll go from there. The point I'm making is there are so many similarities. Celtics didn't care who they played. They got the 2 seed. Could have been dropped down a line. Could have avoided the Brooklyn Nets, and that was a lot of the talk of, oh, is Boston going to lose this game? And then make sure they're avoiding the Nets. It would be the Bucks. They played them. They swept them. Bucks swept the Heat. Game one against the Heat. The Bucks won that game. Chris Middleton, game-winning shot. And look, I still think, even if the Bucks lose game one of that series against the Heat, they still win the series. But what the TWP and what other statistical models probably can't speak to is how much you just needed to win that game, because there was a lot of pressure on the Bucks in that postseason run. You could hear the external chatter about, well, where do they go from here if they fall short? We had seen Giannis, and you'd heard the outside voices of, well, can Giannis win in the playoffs? Can Bud win in the playoffs? Is he a playoff coach? What does this team mean? What about Drew Holiday? Just locked up that extension prior to the playoffs, but oof, what happens if this team doesn't win? And what happens if they lose game one against the Heat? Who knows? I still think they'd win, but maybe you don't go on that run, and maybe things start to creep in of, oh man, this team again, here we go. Same with last year. The Nets destroyed the Celtics. That year that the Bucks played the Nets in the second round, the Nets destroyed the Celtics in the first round. That was the greatest offensive efficiency and offensive rating in a playoff series we had ever seen in NBA history. And that was when the chatter was loudest. Man, Harden, Durant, this team is unbeatable with those three guys, with KD, with James Harden, with Kyrie Irving. Good luck, Bucks. And granted, injuries were a part of it.
How many games did they not have Giannis in that series? One or two?
In which series?
The Nets second round.
They had Giannis in all of them. It was the conference finals.
Wasn't the Chris Middleton, when he hit the game, when Kevin Durant's foot was on the line, wasn't Giannis not playing that game?
No, he was in that game. He had a 40-point game.
Chris Middleton had the 40-point game. That was the big game. I thought Giannis missed the game.
Chris Middleton had a 40-point game in the finals.
Okay, All right, I believe you.
But you just don't know how much that one game can give you that nudge you need. And there's no way to quantify that statistically. Go back to game one last year between the Nets and the Celtics. Jason Tatum with the game winner at time expiring with that layup. All of those games were close. All of those games were competitive. Who knows if that series goes differently if the Nets win that game. And then a seven-game brutal series with the Bucks. A year prior, the Bucks with that brutal seven-game series with the Brooklyn Nets, where the Bucks won the decisive game on the road. The Boston Celtics in that series last year basically won the decisive game for all intents and purposes on the road. You were up 3-2 as the Bucks. When you lost game six at home, you just started to get the feel. Like, you don't want to give up. And certainly nobody on the team did, but you started to get the feeling of, felt like that was our shot. And then you take care of the Miami Heat in the conference finals. In a series that, you know, went longer than it should have, but you still win that series and move on to the NBA Finals, it started to feel like a mirror image of what the Bucks did. And that, to me, was the most frustrating part of last year, was watching the Boston Celtics get this opportunity. Similar to Kevin Durant, the message that he gave to Giannis after that Game 7 of, hey, you're amazing, go win one. It's kind of like what it felt like between the Bucks and the Celtics. I know Bucks fans hate the Celtics, but that was the feeling I got of, all right, you guys won. Go win it now. You took us down. You guys go win this. And to watch him fall short just made it all the more frustrating to see the Bucks lose in the second round and to lose in a series where you had to play without Chris Middleton. So this, assuming we get the Bucks-Celtics series, has been a long time coming. But that's a big if. Again, we'll get to the rest of the matchups out there. But so far, we have decided. We know 3 versus 6 is going to be the Sixers versus Nets. We know 4 versus 5 is going to be the Cavaliers versus the Knicks. And the statistical models are showing us the 2 versus 7 is going to be the Celtics versus the Miami Heat. So what about the other play-in tournament game? And then what does that mean for the following game to decide the 8th seed? We'll crunch those numbers after this on Bucks Talk. On to the playoffs for the Bucks. They are the 1 seed in all of basketball. They wait to see who will come out of the play-in tournament as the 8th seed. We will not know the answer to that question until Friday night. So, again, here's what you've missed so far. Tuesday night, the 7 versus 8 games will be played. We don't know what that is in the West, and we won't know for another 2 hours or so as all of these games being played at 2:30 today are what's going to decide 5 through 9, still up for grabs in the Western Conference. So the East, we knew Friday, everything was locked into place. After that result of the Bulls losing and everything else that took place, the only things you're waiting on were, will the Nets hold off the Heat for 6th? They did. They won, and the Heat lost. You only needed one of those scenarios to clinch for Brooklyn. And the Bulls still had a very, very slim chance at getting out of 10, but with the Raptors winning, that was no longer the case. So everything was locked into place Friday night in the East. In the West, we only knew as of Friday 1, 2, and 3, and 10 for that matter. We didn't even get to what happened in Dallas, but that decided 10. Then the Suns clinched 4. Just a little bit later. But that was it. 1 through 4 and 10. So 5 through 9 are wide open in the Western Conference. You have teams like the Warriors and the Lakers who could be as high as 5th. They could be in the play-in tournament. They could be on the road in the play-in tournament. Still a lot of movement and volatility out West. The East is a different story. And what we have projected, I should be very, very careful with this, the TWP, what it has projected is that The Miami Heat will win the 7-8 matchup against the Atlanta Hawks, and they will be playing the Boston Celtics in the first round of the playoffs. So with that being said, we talked about what the Bucks went through in that title run. You swept the Heat. It was, you know, the first two games at least, there was some tense moments. And then you just blew them out. You just started to pull away as that series progressed. And really, Game 4 was one of the best feelings Bucks fans had, where you exercised those demons and dominated the Heat to move on to the second round. Oh, by the way, against the Brooklyn Nets, where you were like, I mean, this is good, but is this really what we want? So you went through Miami. You went through Brooklyn. You thought you were going to go through Philly. Instead, it was Atlanta. But you did that without Giannis for the final two games of that series. And then the Phoenix Suns, who, you know, we lose track of this. They were a very good team that year and 2 years ago. They may be again this year with Kevin Durant in the mix. But that was a very, very tough stretch. I don't know that it's as tough as the gauntlet the Boston Celtics would have, assuming the TWP is accurate and you go through the Miami Heat, assuming you get the 76ers in the second round, and assuming you get the Bucks in the conference final. And then whoever comes out of the West, if it comes to that, hopefully not. That's a pretty tough draw. Even for Philadelphia, we talked about this on Friday. The Celtics are going to beat the Heat, if that's who they get. The Sixers are going to beat the Nets. But in the case of both of those matchups, it's not necessarily what you want in the first round of the playoffs. And it speaks a lot to where this league is currently at and how much talent and depth there is league-wide. I mean, in years past, you would look at all of these first-round matchups, and outside of 4-5, you're like, well, this team's winning. We can write it down in marker. You can still write it down in pen, but
have your whiteout ready.
Well, you just can't write it down in advance, I would say. Because, look, Boston will beat Miami if that's who they get. It's not going to be a fun series. It's not what you want in the first round. And the same with Philly and Brooklyn. Philly's going to win that. They'll probably win in, at the very most, five games. Maybe they'll sweep them. But to me, that could be very similar to what you saw between the Nets and the Celtics last year, where it's not going to be fun to play that team matchup-wise. They don't have anybody that can contend with Joel Embiid. Spoiler alert, no one does. I mean, the Bucks are one of the closest with Brook Lopez. Even then, you're not going to prevent Joel Embiid from scoring the basketball. So it's not a great matchup defensively for the Nets on that front, but the Nets are loaded with 3-and-D guys. And the rest of the 76ers, the guys you can throw on James Harden, on Tobias Harris, and basically say, okay, Joel is going to have to do all of the scoring, and we'll see what that takes out of him. And does he wear down in that second-round series then against, we think, the Boston Celtics? So that's not going to be fun for Brooklyn and the way that Brooklyn, or excuse me, for Philly, and the way that Brooklyn's going to play. Who are the teams we've seen give problems to the 76ers this year in the regular season? It's those teams that are going to play smaller, that are going to play fast with more pace and tempo, and they're going to pull Joel Embiid away from the basket and make him move laterally and get him out there on the perimeter. You think back to right after the trade deadline going into the All-Star break, that game the Sixers had in Dallas against the Mavericks, where Dallas down double figures, Dallas built up a 20-plus point lead in that game. Now, Philly started to come back. Dallas ultimately won, but they played small. They played with guards. They played on the perimeter. They played fast, which is not something Luka Doncic does quite a bit, and they just wanted to get Joel Embiid away from the basket, make him move, pull him out of the lane, and this is how we'll exploit Philadelphia. So that's the blueprint, if such a thing exists, but good luck building that house is all I would caution. It's not going to be fun. They're going to win. And it's going to be the same with Miami, too. Boston is clearly a better team than the Miami Heat. They're going to win that series. They're probably going to win in four. They might win in five. Maybe Miami could somehow take that to six. But Miami's going to grind you down. They're going to make you work. And if the shooting comes back for Miami, then it gets interesting. That's where you say, okay, maybe they could take two games off of them. Still still a big ask, but they're going to make you work, and that's not what you want for the first round. Your first round series, what we've traditionally seen and what you want, it's basically study hall, eighth period in high school. Like, all right, I am technically here because I have to be here. I'm not doing anything. The old gentleman sweep or the sweep. That's what you want in a first round opponent, and that's not necessarily what you're going to get in Miami and maybe not in Brooklyn either. So that's that portion. On the other side, Wednesday, you are going to have in Toronto the Raptors and the Chicago Bulls, where the loser of that game is eliminated. The winner of that game is going to play, as we have projected, the Atlanta Hawks on Friday night. And according to the TWP, the winner of the 9-10 matchup between the Toronto Raptors and the Chicago Bulls in a game played in Toronto is who?
I like Toronto. I think Toronto, as according to the readings that I'm doing for the TWPs right now,
all right, yeah,
65%. Not as certain with Miami, but I do think I believe Toronto won the series against Chicago during the regular season this year. I was higher on Toronto going into the season. I thought this team was going to be sniffing around their 5-6 mark already. Didn't work out that way. I just don't think Chicago, even with Pat Bev getting there, they kind of turned things around a little bit, but I don't think they're really built for this moment.
Boy, that outside of Pat Bev.
That was just a turning point in the season for them.
On the scorer's table in Minnesota last year, like that is the second biggest moment of Patrick Beverley's career to have the man other than Patrick Beverley.
That was a turnaround for them. They obviously were not up to it until Pat Bev got there. Guy you want on your team, don't want to play against.
Yeah, also, we got to work on your framing. It's like, again, this is a statistical model, so it's not what you think. This is what the numbers are telling you.
Oh, the numbers tell me Pat Bev helped them out when he got
that's
there.
That's not what I mean. Okay, so to your point, the Raptors did win the season series, taking 2 of 3 against the Bulls.
Good number.
I will say this, and I think a lot of us noticed it and waited for it to end, but it didn't. The Bulls were one of the better defenses in the league the second half of the season. That's basically what kept them in this.
Do you know what happened the second half of the season? They got Patrick Beverley.
That being said, it was the Bulls' defense that helped them out. I don't know what to make of the Raptors, and obviously if you watch this game today, that's not a fair representation of what the Raptors are, but every year we go through this annual practice where the Raptors are the sports media advanced analytics darlings in basketball. Of, oh, look out for Toronto, to your point of, hey, we thought they'd be around 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there. They just can't score. And you have guys like Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent Jr. who can score the basketball. Pascal Siakam's a nice player. But as we've pointed out with the Bucks, as we've witnessed this with better offensive pieces, things change in the postseason. You're playing better defenses, and it's not just a one-off. I mean, that's really the biggest difference. You can talk about, well, things change in the playoffs. You officiate things differently. You let them play. You swallow the whistle. Like that, maybe there's some components to that, but the large thing is this. You have incentive in the playoffs. Like, this isn't night two of a back-to-back, first and foremost. This isn't your fifth game in 7 days. This isn't just a random February game, middle of the month, where you're already looking ahead to the All-Star break. I mean, that may be a problem for the league, but that's the issue, right? The playoffs have juice, so you have players that are fully in on it.
Dave pointed out that they didn't shoot the three well this year either, Toronto.
It is not a good offensive team. So that's the difference is, look, there are stakes here. This isn't just 1 of 82 in the regular season, so the quality of play goes up in that regard. But also, this is a series. This isn't just, hey, we got to play this team in 2 days. We're throwing this assistant coach is going to handle the scout for it, and yeah, we'll do a couple of these things. But we're not putting too much into how we zone or how we scheme up against this team. We're just, you know, we're doing what we do every single night. When you get to the playoffs, you're scheming for a team. you're game planning specifically for that team. A lot of times during the regular season, it's just, let's do what we do well. Maybe we'll tinker with this. Maybe we'll try this. But we're not specifically setting a game plan, unless it's a huge, meaningful game. We're not building out this game plan of, boy, how do we really slow down Gary Trent Jr.? That's going to change in the playoffs. We have the time and the resources to do it. So to me, it's that more than anything else why it's, man, things change in the playoffs. That's why. And I just don't know how much trust I can put in that Raptors offense in a situation like that. Now, their defense, sure, they have those pieces in place. But here's the other thing I would caution is, you know, we mentioned at the top of the show the news trickling out of Steven Silas exiting Houston, Dwayne Casey in Detroit. There have been loud rumblings for a couple of weeks now that for some reason, it seemed like for most of this season, the Raptors and Nick Nurse were headed towards a divorce. And for a couple of weeks now, it has seemed as if the most likely landing spot for Nick Nurse is going to be in Houston with the Rockets. So it seems like it is a team that is headed towards an interesting offseason. In all likelihood, their coach is going to be gone. At the trade deadline, that was one of the teams where you were thinking, what do the Raptors do here? Do they move some of these guys? Fred VanVleet can test the market. He just changed representation and went to Clutch Sports, which usually is not a, I'll take a hometown discount and stay with the Toronto Raptors. It's usually, can you get me to Los Angeles or can you get me the most money possible type of thing that you see there? So who knows? The point I'm trying to make is it doesn't feel like there's great vibes with the Raptors going into the playoffs. I don't think there's great vibes with the Bulls either. But I guess I trust the Chicago Bulls in a winner-take-all game more than I would the Toronto Raptors.
Again, more confident in the Heat game, for sure. The TWPs are, at least. But I still think that Toronto's got a little more star power than Chicago.
Do they?
I don't think Vooch has been
The biggest star, Vooch isn't who you would start with. I mean,
no, but I was working it towards the TWPs.
You'd start with Patrick Beverley, I'd assume.
Right.
I mean, do they have the biggest star? When we're talking about Fred VanVleet, a nice player.
And Pascal.
Not a star. And Pascal, nice player, not a star. I mean, you can make the same argument with Zach LaVine, but Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan are more well-known than those guys.
Sure. But I do think they're probably trending away from DeMar as well in Chicago.
I am going to go against the TWP and say the Chicago Bulls win this game on Wednesday.
Okay.
So that would mean, with those results, we would have, in Atlanta on Friday night, the Atlanta Hawks hosting the Chicago Bulls for the right to face the Bucks in the first round of the playoffs. So how does that look according to the TWP? And are there any tells we can get so far? As most of these games, your second half of games, are headed to halftime here in these Western Conference games. So are there any tells, and do we have any better idea on what 5-9 is going to look like in the Western Conference? We'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice, that's why.
Final regular season edition of Bucks Talk here on ESPN Milwaukee. As I mentioned at the top of the show, too, we have a 3-hour extravaganza on Wednesday night, a 3-hour Bucks Weekly. You can hear the show on WTMJ and right here on ESPN Milwaukee from 6-9. We will preview the playoffs. We will know who the Celtics' first-round opponent is at that time, and we'll know one of the two teams playing for the right to play the Bucks. We won't know what the matchup is just yet, but a lot more clarity, or a little more clarity, on the playoffs by the time the show rolls around on Wednesday night. Bucks Weekly, a special three-hour edition of Bucks Weekly. You heard that right, 3 hours from 6 to 9 on ESPN Milwaukee and on WTMJ. I'll go ahead and I'll tease a few names that are going to join us. I think some of my pals, still locking down the rest, but I think some voices you regularly hear on the Locked On Bucks podcast will join us. Camille Davis is confirmed. You hear her on the Locked On Bucks podcast and the Technical Foul podcast as well. So she is going to join me for a brief portion of the show. My guy, my friend, Ben Golliver of the Washington Post and the GOAT podcast, he's going to be on the show as well, and a few other names we're finalizing. So 3 hours of Bucks talk and previewing the playoffs and your interaction as well on a special three-hour edition of Bucks Weekly on ESPN Milwaukee and on WTMJ Wednesday night from 6 to 9. Okay, so where we have left off is this. We are now to the point that we clashed a little bit. It was kind of like the old BCS where you have the coaches poll, you have the computers and everything else. But I think we've come to an agreement that Friday night is going to be the Atlanta Hawks and the Chicago Bulls playing in a winner-take-all to get the 8th seed and play the Bucks.
Well, I have it as the Hawks and the Raptors.
Either way, we know a game will be played in Atlanta then under those situations, under those scenarios. Okay, so Hawks-Raptors, your TWP says what?
TWP has that 80% Hawks.
Okay, good. I was going to say, hopefully you don't blow this up. I have the Hawks and the Bulls, and as much as we started this show saying, look, the Hawks aren't a good team, I don't understand why Quinn Snyder would take that instead of waiting to see some of these openings. I mean, who knows? Maybe you keep Fred VanVleet, you make some other moves. Everybody loves Scottie Barnes. Everybody loves Pascal Siakam. Toronto, if Nick Nurse leaves, that wouldn't be too bad to go to, especially with an executive like Masai Ujiri. All of that being said, I don't think the Hawks are all that good of a team. They have a lot of flaws. The offense, it improved somewhat in the minutes that Trae Young is off the floor. That's what the DeJounte Murray deal was, the impetus for that deal. The defense, to me, is the most confounding thing about this Atlanta Hawks team. When you look at the individual personnel they have, I still cannot wrap my mind over how this is not a top 10 defense somewhere around there. When you have a guy like DeAndre Hunter, you have Onyeka Okongwu, who is much better. Much better. He should be your big man over Clint Capella. I understand why you work Clint Capella with Trae Young, but it ultimately boils down to Trae Young defensively. Like, that's the issue. All of that said, one game, single elimination, NCAA tournament style, winner takes all. I don't want to play Trae Young. I've not been a very big admirer or fan of Trae Young's game, especially as time has gone on. Seems like the bloom is certainly off that rose there. But in that series, is there one guy, even with some of the knocks we've seen Trae Young take, even with some of the declines in his game, the shooting numbers have not been what they were when he first entered the league. In that series, is there one guy you would rather not play more than Trae Young? Rather not have to go against more than Trae Young?
I think the second guy is on that team, too. DeJounte Murray could go for 40. Of anyone in that series, I would put DeJounte above Van. Well, you're going to Chicago,
Zach,
right?
Zach LaVine,
I guess you can argue for it. But DeJounte could easily drop 40 in a game.
And look, it. We're going back 2 years. But a big reason why the Hawks kept advancing was Trae Young. And there's a lot more tape on him. The book is more out on him. You know how to prepare and defend him better than you did that season. We have seen some regression from Trae Young. He is obviously a defensive liability, and that is why you say, well, I don't know how this defense isn't better. Well, Trae Young's a big reason why. But that being said, Trae Young was basically the reason why they handled the Knicks rather easily in the first round of the playoffs. Trae Young had a big series against the 76ers. As much as we can point to Ben Simmons and the unraveling there, Trae Young was huge in that series. Trae Young had a big game against the Bucks in game one, where the Hawks won in Milwaukee to open the Eastern Conference Finals. So he's had some big moments, and in a one-game scenario where you're eliminated, that's not necessarily what you want to go against. Somebody as unorthodox as Trae Young can be. So my projections, and the TWP would agree with this, would tell us Bucks are going to be playing the Atlanta Hawks in the first round of the playoffs 1 week from today.
Right now, TWP sitting at 52%.
That's not very strong.
Well, there's multiple teams. Yeah, all four.
So
52%. It's going to be the Atlanta Hawks.
Okay, I can't wait to hear this. 25%. Okay,
that it's going to be the Miami Heat.
Okay,
it's then.
That number seems off, but okay.
No. And then we got 13% that it's going to be the Bulls.
Well, you're looking now. I don't under.
And then the other remaining is
the other remaining.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that other percent that would put you at 102%.
You got to put in that extra 2% on the TWPs.
Also, I'm just going to push back a little bit in that 25% for the Miami Heat being the Bucks opponent.
Well, that would be if they lose. I almost guarantee that they win the second game.
But somebody that works a lot with models and numbers and projections, I'll just point this out. If the TWP had them very heavy favorites to win that game, they would not have high percentage chance of playing the Bucks. Then it would be rather low.
But if Miami was going to,
but that's factoring
lose,
in the if too. There's a small. That if losing is very, very small, which then would turn the chances of them playing the Bucks very, very small.
But the TWPs works on adjacencies.
Just a suggestion on the TWP.
If they get to the second game, they're not losing. The Bulls and the Raptors cannot beat the Heat.
Like 60% of the time it works every time. Is
correct.
Basically what you're telling me.
It's Yogi Berra TWPs.
Something like that. We both agree. Your somewhat flawed statistical models and my just gut feeling, it's going to be the Bucks and the Hawks in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And again, 1 week from today. So you don't know who the Bucks will play until Friday night. They're not going to play Saturday. You're not going to say, hey, congrats, Hawks. You just played two games. Now go do a back-to-back. Game one of the playoffs tomorrow in Milwaukee. And oh, by the way, we're going to have a tip at noon. Because we got four games on Saturday. So I think we're getting way in front of ourselves here, but we've already gotten somewhat in front of ourselves with assuming it's going to be the Bucks and the Hawks on Sunday. If that's the matchup, I think it's going to be I would guess a noon, a 2:30-ish, a 5:30 and a 7 or a 5 and a 7:30, something like that, on Sunday. I would guess the Bucks would play the second to last game of the day on Sunday. They would be 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever the tip time is. That's when the Bucks would play against the Atlanta Hawks, game one in Milwaukee. So mark your calendars now. You heard it here first. I think it's 6 p.m. is the structure. I think it would be noon. Maybe 3,
you think
6.
They could give them that late in the day? Shouldn't it be a blowout?
Well, they did last year. That was what they had with the Bulls.
And we were what, the 2 last year? 3 last year.
The 3 last year. So you heard it here first. The 6 o'clock-ish. We'll have to confirm the times for those games. But I think the Bucks will be the second to last game of the day on Sunday. I think the Nuggets will be the last game of the day. If you got like Nuggets Lakers, that you better believe that's going to be your 2:30 or 3, whatever the marquee game is. But I think the Bucks are going to be the second to last game where it's, hey, We had a couple of great games to start the day with some of those matchups you could have in the West. I mean, we could have Warriors versus Suns. You could have Clippers versus Suns. That may be Saturday, too. Who knows? But, yeah, I think it'll be the second to last game of the day. We'll see if we can get a better handle on those tip times. We know it's going to be Sunday. What are the options for the tip times? We'll get into that and get you up to speed on those scores. It's seven games being played right now, and all of those are going to impact what the seeding is in the Western Conference. They are all either at halftime or just beginning the second half. So we'll get you the latest on the scores after this, and one of them is basically a final as we speak. 90 seconds into the second half, which will start to lock some things into place. We'll fill you in on the details next on Bucks Talk. All right, so a little bit of clarity on those tip times. So last year, we had the same model here, not the TWP, but the same model of how the play-in tournament would work. And both one seeds played on Sunday, but it was a little different. So the Miami Heat were your one seed. The Atlanta Hawks, again, the eighth seed, winning the second play-in tournament spot. Boy, deja vu all over again, potentially, for the Atlanta Hawks. They played game one of Sunday, April 17th. So Saturday the 16th, the playoffs began April 17th. Was game two, or day two, I should say. Heat, as the one seed, hosted the eighth seed Hawks at noon on Sunday. The marquee game was the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics. The again, we talked about this at the top of the show, the game that the Celtics won on Jason Tatum's game-winning layup as time expired. That game was your second game of the day, and that game tipped off in Boston at 2:30. Your third game of the day was the Bucks hosting the Chicago Bulls. That was a 5:30 tip. I'm here to tell you, you heard it here first. It's going to be the Bucks and the Hawks, and it's going to be a 5:30 tip on Sunday.
What are the JGPs thinking? Justin Garcia projections.
I just told you.
Well, what?
I don't percentage? Put it out there unless it's 100%. So 100%.
Oh, all right.
Bucks and the Hawks, 5:30 on Sunday. You heard it here first. We will get you up to date on those scores as one of them is starting to take shape. One is already over, and that may be the linchpin to a lot of the scenarios in the West. We'll fill you in on the details and wrap up the show after this on Bucks Talk. Okay, so we do have a tad bit more clarity on the West, and I had some reservations after I gave that prediction, but you know what? In second thought, I don't. I think it's going to be the Bucks and the Hawks, and this is assuming it is Bucks-Hawks. It's going to be 5:30 on Sunday, game one, in Milwaukee. Don't take it to the bank just yet, but start to drive to the bank. Don't go inside and talk to the teller just yet, but you can head to the
bank. Bank's not open on Sunday.
You can already like start to prepare your Monday of like, well, we got to go to the bank, but let's not do the transfer online yet. Let's go into the bank on Monday. So that's the point here. In the West, again, as we opened the show, 5 through 9 was still up for grabs. And a lot of that centered around what happens in really three games. One of those games was in Portland, or is in Portland, between the Trailblazers and the Golden State Warriors. If you had any doubt how the Trailblazers were going to approach this game, you probably haven't watched the NBA for the last 3 months, 2 months. It's 100-64. The Warriors, who are, as a reminder, a historically bad road team. The Warriors don't have the head-to-head tiebreaker over any of these teams they're fighting with and jockeying for position in the playoff seedings. The Warriors don't have the head-to-head tiebreaker because They're 10-30 on the road. It's tough to win a head-to-head series when you're not winning on the road. They're about to be 11-30 to close out the regular season, which in itself is not very good, but they're up 36 with 6 minutes left in the third quarter. So the Warriors are going to win. That means the Warriors are not going to be in the play-in tournament. They will be maybe not six. They could get as high as five, but they're at least out of the play-in tournament if they win this game. So how high can the Warriors get? If the Clippers lose, the Warriors are fifth. So in other words, Warriors win, Clippers lose. The Warriors are fifth and the Clippers are sixth. Score right now in Phoenix. It's halftime. Suns lead the Clippers 53-48. 24 minutes left, 5 points. That's not a lot. But historically, we have seen if there's one team that likes to play around a little bit with the basketball gods and tempt fate and take things into their own hands, it has been the Los Angeles Clippers. And from a Clipper perspective, you don't know when Paul George is going to be back, by the way. Doesn't sound like he would be ready for a play-in tournament. Everybody has targeted the Sacramento Kings. It's been cute story Kings. Defense is terrible. It's great that they're back in the playoffs, lighting the beam. Haven't been there since 2006. Great. That's the team we want to play, is what every team in the West is saying. And I think in the second half, we will see the Clippers are no different, knowing, hey, if we lose, we're six. We get the Kings. Let's let the Warriors take on the Phoenix Suns. So it does seem as though we're moving towards 5 and 6, being the Warriors and the Clippers in that order, which would mean, again, you would have Warriors Suns in the first round of the playoffs, Clippers Kings in the first round as well, Sacramento versus Los Angeles, and then the rest of the seeding still. Again, the game in Minnesota is going to be huge for the Timberwolves and the Pelicans, and the Pelicans are blowing out the Timberwolves. They just started the second half. And the Pelicans are up 14 on the Minnesota Timberwolves. That was another one of those important games, as the Pelicans don't have any tiebreakers except for with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So New Orleans is probably going to finish seventh. You're going to have a Pelicans-Lakers play-in tournament matchup, and it seems like with this result in Minnesota, it's going to be the Timberwolves and the Thunder in your 9-10 matchup on Wednesday. So it seems like that's what we're moving towards. But again, a lot can change here in the second half of these games. I do want to remind you one more time, Wednesday night, 6 to 9 p.m. on this station, on ESPN Milwaukee and on WTMJ, a three-hour Bucks talk. A lot of voices that are going to be joining me for those 3 hours to dissect the playoffs, take a preview of that playoff run for the Bucks, who they could potentially be playing, and everything else you need to know. 6 to 9 on ESPN Milwaukee and on WTMJ. Regular season comes to a close as the Bucks now move into the playoffs with the number one seed in all of basketball. My thanks to everybody for tuning in, and Tommy Wirtz for producing the show. We'll talk again Wednesday night with some more Bucks talk on ESPN Milwaukee.